Yes, we're back, keeping the ball on the ground, and I'm going absolutely nowhere until we mention the good people who pay our wages. William Hill, who have got an absolutely stupendous offer on just now. You bet £10, you get a free £30 bet. Also the good guys at Black Rooster Perry Perry, Michael Kennedy, what a man. One of the best guys you'll ever meet in your life. Another couple of great guys are with me today. The BBC duo of Kevin and Kyle and Paul Slynn. Now, it was bad enough when you were doing it, Kev, but the both of you done it Friday night. Dagger to the heart.
What's who that done it Friday night?
You used to. I seen the picture on Twitter.
Slaney.
Who was that you were on with then?
No.
Who were you on with?
Gary Holt's love child.
Oh, Gary Holt. I thought you'd shaved your hair and eyebrows.
I was absolutely switched off.
So is that? I didn't even see it.
Kev, how's Gary Holt? He came a long way for Darnell and Big Brother, didn't he? How was he, alright?
He's the ginger Darnell, isn't he?
Was Gary Holt, is that a living manager?
Aye, he was on,
doing the show on Friday?
He was, aye.
Him and Lenny were brothers yesterday, weren't they? They were. Was you double acting on it?
Gary Holt shaked everybody's hand coming off the park. I even think he went out the main doors and shaked every fan coming at the stadium.
He loves it, didn't he? How no, is he? Has he got a good insight? Is he a genius? Tell us a bit on what is he?
Gary Holt's just a guy that's, I think, just happy to be in a job. He's just a, he's one of the no. He's one of the he's a really, really nice guy, Gary Holt, and he's obviously worked.
Darnell.
What I didn't know about Darnell was he was a chef.
Was
he's
he?
Fucking into karate. He's got
no way. This is a wind up.
No, seriously, black belt in karate, chef.
Black belt.
Black belt, and also he was aye, and he also
he's also a bus driver with his short sleeve shirt. He was.
Yeah, that's lovely done.
He was in the army. He was in the army as well.
Yeah,
wow. So no, he was all right. You know what I mean? But I think that's me and the BBC done.
No, it's no. Don't lie.
It
don't
is,
lie to our faces. You'll be on there next Friday night.
Listen, you're spot on, Kev. What you said, you're doing it to look after the boys, and I wish I could get a wee bit of extra jobs to look after my two boys.
You want your own job back,
Polly and Johnny?
Did you hear about the madman last night?
Aye.
Evacuated the pictures.
Evacuated.
While he was doing the popcorn trick.
I couldn't believe that. The popcorn up on the air side. Everybody's running out of the popcorn. I'm trying to grab the trousers up. But I couldn't believe it. I don't know if this is true because the noise came on evacuation or that, but before it happened, when the movie was on, the Joker was on, a guy went out with a pram and somebody in the pram and the baby was greeting.
About the film?
I don't know, I think it was about the film, but the baby had a Joker mask on, Si, so I don't know, was it floods of tears, and then the evacuation happened, so I don't know what had actually happened, Si, but supposedly went out, supposedly wee Wally Collins.
I'm scared.
It was petrified in a Joker. So they had to stop the movie for the wee man, honestly, Si, but the thing is, I forgot my tickets in there.
What do you mean?
So I kind of get refunded. Still an hour to go to the movie. So I've missed, I watched half the film, the slow part, and now I kind of go and see the rest of it.
Give me a shout, I can get you free tickets.
Going to try get is it, because that's an absolute shambles.
Was your trousers at your ankles when it was evacuated?
No word of a lie, everybody's trying to get pictures, I'm trying to grab a hang up, trying to keep the popcorn going, my goodness, what a night.
Right, listen, we've got a few injuries in the podcast today. My groin's still sore for terrible performance at Montrose. And Slaney, you've tore your groin off the bone reading James Forrest's new book.
Absolutely. Cannot believe it, non-stop I've been reading it.
What about that, a wee book for your mate?
Did you hear him saying it? He said like he didn't want to date that.
Why has he done it?
What
then?
A humble guy, eh?
Are you getting a mention?
If I don't get a mention, I will go down to every bookstore and set every single book on fire, sorry.
And Ben Kev as well, Black Eye. Crossing and finishing the back garden. Mrs. came for a cross and took man and bolt.
Aye, that was a poor tweet I put out last week, obviously.
Every week there's going to be someone about 100
people. I know,
keeper.
When you
do
say...
Do you believe Andy Gorham knew that title, the goalie, should be taking off him?
Aye, my wife's got it. Lynn's got it. Lynn's at the doctor's today. She's got...
Sore hands.
I saw hands. She's got a chest infection, God help her. So I struck one too hard and she went to put her hands up, but it hurt her right in the chest. she's had to get into the local surgery and see how she is. So
has she got big hands?
Oh, huge.
She'd need them for that. Right, you ready? Celtic v Livy. More drop points for Celtic on the road. Livy shock 2-0 win. Is it a significant moment in the title race? Paul Slaney, as Rangers go top.
Worrying times, si, and I know we like to we jump and we don't want to jump too much, don't you? But
do we like to jump or do we not like to jump?
I like to jump. certainly with Anfield, I love to jump. Si, but certainly with last week with Hibs, you can put it. I know yesterday's a red card, but I still think you should be competing better than that, si. And I believe there's something just no. I don't know what it is, and I really don't. But there's just something no. It's quite right at Celtic, I think.
Right.
And I don't know what it is. I've been, even on the Saturday night when I was lying in my bed with Paul DeWim, and the twos were the twos were looking at each other, and the twos were just, we were gaunt looking. We were gaunt looking, and we were shaking a wee bit, and we didn't know what was going to happen. That shouldn't be Celtic going to Livingston. You should be confident. You should be.
So you were saying you were worried the night before.
Worried the night before, Simon Paul, and we were cuddled up, and we were just shaking like two wee boys, and it was a sad time. But listen, I don't know, Paul Ribbon, and no, but certainly, si, I think there's just something not right. And I asked Paul the time, I said to him, do you know any insight? Because you seem to be good at that. And he's not too sure either, si.
He's wanting his Aguirre back, isn't he?
He wants his mole. He's Aguirre ran to him, clawed his wee claws and sprinted back to Paul the Bim. And so we can get Emilio in the bed as well.
That's the plot. That was sensational.
What can I tell you? I'm in Liverpool at Saturday.
Oh, you were?
Doing it at Anfield. Remember I told you?
Oh, I know who you were with. Seen it on Instagram.
Aye, but so.
Well, I'll tell you.
Aye, but you know, mate, no word to lie. Obviously, when the VAR happened, when it was one each, the VAR happened to get the goal. But my seats were right but in front of the Leicester chairman. No joke, and Becky Vardy was there as well. Beautiful. But see, when the goal went in, so when the VAR, I was shouting at the chairman, I said, it's a fucking penalty. Don't you start your nonsense, because he was watching a wee screen. Do you know what? See, when the goal went in, si, and I'd jump up. The Leicester, mate, this is no word, I can't believe I've not told you this. The Leicester chairman put his horn in my shoulder and went, open goal, shite.
That's really good. You should have kept that for the Liverpool section.
Oh,
you've jumped a gun. Still a great story. Right, Kev, Celtic, only one change for the Clues game. Was that, were you surprised at?
I wasn't surprised. I was just.
Why not? It takes a lot out of your Thursday night game against
a
good
but, team. You know, you, how long have you played football? If you can't play Europe on a Wednesday and then on a Saturday, Thursday, Sunday, 3 days in between, there's something seriously wrong with your fitness or your desire to want to do well.
Well, here's one for you. Why is El Ahmed the only player that isn't playing? For me, he's Celtic's best player just now. Why is he not playing? Big physical. That game would have suited him perfectly.
Possibly. I felt when he played against Rangers in the first Old Firm game that he was a bit lightweight. I didn't think he had a bit of punch about him.
Right.
So maybe that's the reason why. I don't know. Maybe he, although he looks a big presence, maybe hasn't he got that in him to be a nasty big fucker. But I don't know. I'm just obviously disappointed with the fact that the TV companies put these fucking live games on in the worst possible fucking stadiums known to man.
What's up with you? You've not got to sleep last night?
No, I'm just annoyed. The kids were absolutely murdering me last night. At one point, I told the kids that to go and find a new dad, basically.
So, I'm the man.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going
to be Willie for a while.
So I'm going to game at 3 o'clock today, and I'm going to apologise to three of them and give them a big cuddle and say,
see, Bauer, for me, the first goal's his fault. I don't know why. He's no followed Robinson's running the box. Instead, he's worried about Nicky Devlin, who everyone knows you want Nicky Devlin to have a ball.
Do you not think we hire doing the dribble out? Obviously, lost the ball. So by the time he gets back in, it leaves that pocket of space.
Yeah.
So Scott Brown's then obviously tried to cover Ayer to get the ball back. So when that ball goes from the right side into the midfield to wee Robbie Crawford, normally Scott Brown would be there, so he would be marking Robbie Crawford. So I think that's where it's more higher than... I know what you're saying, Bauer should come round and look to see where the danger will be.
Yeah.
But it was just a bad, bad goal. You know, you're down to 10 men, so you want to keep things tight. You get into half-time 0-0, you're happy with that. But to come out and lose a goal 2 minutes into the game, that's
but see, when you're down to 10 men, I always think that you need somebody like your centre-half to take a wee chance and go and try.
Absolutely, but 2 minutes into the second half, find your feet first again and then find the moments in the game where... you can go a runway, but it's just I think somebody said that Celtic didn't look up for it. At what point do you ever wake up in the morning and think, you know what, I don't fancy this today? You fancy every game. They just didn't perform very well and
it's
they got beat.
Yeah, it certainly is, but it's criminal, side the last two away games to drop points. That's we were saying, I think everybody in Scottish football said they're going to drop points. If you're going to win a league, it's going to be the Old Firm games. It's certainly not the case at the moment. So I don't know. I know. Listen, maybe I'm wrong. It's a hard place to go, and you've got 10 men for what, 75 minutes or 65 minutes or whatever it is. It's very, very tough, Kev. So I maybe I'm bloated, but I don't know. Just as I said, Saturday night, it just doesn't feel something quite right.
See, for me, Celtic need to get Lee Griffiths fit. See, Sunday is a game that you need somebody running behind Livingston. Aye. See, if you've got everyone in front of Livingston, they'll head it, they'll kick it. The two centre half then are like turning, but Celtic have not got anybody like that.
No,
Edward wants to come to feet all the time, and Griffiths isn't on the bit. For me, Bayo, he's got a long way to go, Bayo. If Celtic can get Lee Griffiths fit, then I think they need to sign a striker in January. Rangers have got two strikers that you know are going to come on and score goals.
You look at that yesterday, Morelos doesn't play and Defoe scores a hat trick. A free goal is a total quality. I don't know. I certainly.
What about the second goal?
I heard they were blaming Foster, which Foster could have come out or no get lobbed, whatever, but how can it go through that whole way?
You can't blame Foster for a 40-yard bump up the park.
See the goalie's taking a goal, a free kick 5 yards for the halfway line?
Yep.
The centre half should be on the 18-yard line ready to defend it.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that high.
No. But that's what I'm saying. That's not to do with 10 men or nothing.
That shouldn't
happen if you get 2 men on the pitch. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean?
And then Big Julian turns like the 52 bus trying to catch Big Dykes.
See, the thing is, we've praised Celtic when they're doing well, right? And we've praised Big Julian for his performance in the Old Firm. We've praised him, obviously, for other games. And we've praised Big Ayer. Maybe we jumped the bandwagon too quick. Maybe let's give them 5 or 6, 7, 8 games, because on that performance on Sunday, I'd hear the two of them at the fucking door.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie. Because he's a centre-half side, right? You do, when things aren't going well, footballing-wise, you do the basics.
Yeah, defend well.
Defend. You're a defender. It's all right. I'll jump over to Tavernier, right? He got a bit of stick last week because he made 2 mistakes. And everybody says, aye, but he scores 83 goals in his time at Rangers and he scored 75 or so many assists. Tavernier's job's to defend. It's the same as the two Celtic boys. First and foremost, do your job right first. And I think that's where Celtic were let down on Saturday.
What was the deal with... Was James injured?
No, I don't think so. What about the Livingston goalie wearing Peter Cech's helmet?
I don't know what was going on there. That shouldn't be allowed.
Terrible, isn't it?
That's shambolic. Is that the boy who puts the soaks there in his as well? What is he doing, eh?
I don't know. He's having himself in it.
Oh, mate, give yourself a break, son, Gonny. You're absolutely hopeless. And that hair and the soaks, rip them down, Gonny.
Rip them off.
Yes, please.
Before yourself, let's give Livingston a bit of praise.
That's the thing. You're spot on. Livingston have been great, and I've watched them via Rangers. They were excellent. And once again, Nicky Devlin with a man of the match performance. Wow. As I said, why is he known as Scotland squad? I'll speak to Steve Clark this week.
We're going to come to that as well, didn't
I? Listen, Livingston, that's going to... I said this year about I didn't see any team it was going to hurt though for him. Certainly Livingston look the team that are going to cause huge problems, Kev.
Well, Livingston are just what Gary Holt's done is identified what they're good at and maybe what they're not so good at, and he's really focused on being a very, very hard team to beat. And they'll, when they get an opportunity, they've got players that can take an opportunity. Like, we're talking about praise. I like the wee guy that set up the first goal, Robbie Crawford. I played with him at Ayr about 6 or 7 years ago. Cracking wee boy, daft as a brush. But it's nice to see guys at him that have come up the ranks with Livingston and they're playing now in the Premier League and getting assists against the likes of Celtic. And fair play to Livingston. The better team won on the day. Celtic just didn't turn up.
See, on Livingston, see if I'm the Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen manager, I'd put videos of Livingston up to show my players. See, if you've worked as hard as they did, you'd be a lot higher.
You're spot on there. See, I was speaking to Nicky, and Nicky was saying, every day in training is so, so hard. The amount of running a day and how tough it is. Now, that's if you want to compete at the highest level, you've got to be like
that. That's
got
to come down from the manager. That's what he's instilling in these players. Yeah. And to me, it looks like the Livingston guys, if somebody organises a team night out on a Tuesday, every single one of them will be there. They'll be in
and Gary Holt drives the bus to take
drives Gary
the bus.
Holt drives the bus.
Stephen Lawless is in a wee baby seat as well.
By the way, that's what Livingston have got, though. They're hard workers, but they've also got guys like Stevie Lawless, who, when he was at Thistle, I played against him. He's a good player.
I've came up with Stevie Lawless. He's a cracking wee player, Stevie. And for being so small, for him to be competing with men, it's amazing. I'm so, so proud of him. Because he needs to put double the work in anybody. It's just for him to even kick the ball at the halfway line. brilliant. He's 20 feet. I just want him to do so well. But no, he's doing really well. I came through the ranks with Stevie Lawless, and it's great. You're right, he is a great wee player on the ball. And I remember playing him. Like, I love playing him, seriously. He was cracking to play as a wing, he played boys, whatever. And he was superb. But as you said, they've got the dogs in there at the right time, but they've also, you need a wee bit of quality as well. And Big Lyndon Collin is doing great as well.
But Big Lyndon, ultimately Big Lyndon put his cell about on Saturday, and he did wind the two big Celtic centre-halves up, and they didn't know about stick or twist. So I was kind of pleased for him to get a goal, because he worked tirelessly for his team. I listened to the interview afterwards, and they're talking about getting calls up for Scotland or Australia. We'll just kind of pause it.
By the way, see if a wee guy scoring goals with his mates at five aside, he's getting linked to playing for Scotland.
That's right, mate. That shouldn't be the case.
Matt Hardy scored 13 last Saturday under eights.
And Stevie
Clark phoned me that after then, so I was like, no chance. He's too young.
Right, my favourite bit of the show, we're going to talk about referee. By the way, can I just say before we start about Christie's red card, wee Willie is going very bald. I actually heard him saying to ask the Livingston groundsman how much it'd be AstroTurf his head. What? Was it a red card? It's a definite red card.
Definitely.
It's a red. Do you know
it's Kevin Kyle red, isn't it? First touch.
Yeah, it certainly is. It is a red card, Si. But do you know though, the only thing is, seeing in full speed. And no, it's a red card, but in full speed.
It's a shocker for me.
It's a shocker, absolute shocker, Si. But wee Willie, I just think, no, with that situation, watching the whole game, he's just too young to be bedded into the games. I think you've got to take him out a wee bit. And when you've got a wee youngster, you've got to just bed him in and out, Si. And he's certainly getting thrown in the deep end at the moment. And you know he'll drown if he goes in there.
Kev, people say it's uncharacteristic, Christie, but it's his fourth red card, he's carried at 24.
I couldn't believe
it. He's got a wee nasty, but best players do, don't they?
Aye, of course he's got a wee bit of
something. Look at Zidane.
He's got a wee bit of something about him.
I'm holding it in my phone.
It's a phone, all right. I don't think in his head, he was looking to do somebody. I think there was a wee thought about it, and then he just kind of decided to stop it last minute, but it was too late, and he didn't follow through. Thankfully, but it was definitely a red card, and it's disappointing, because that's what's caused Celtic the game. Had they kept 11 men on the park, the game might have been different, but effectively it's hard to play with 10 men against a team that is dogged as Livingston, yeah. You know what I mean, when you're parting the bus. And but no, he like you say, four red cards previous to that, he's nearly got as many as me.
Do you think wee Willie's going bald because the amount of press he's getting through us, he's struggling to cope with it.
The stress.
I'm bally. So did you hear somebody sing that ball and goalie song?
No. Right, just on that subject, loose cannons that you've played with, anyone that springs to mind?
Probably wee Blackie. Because that
angry wee man,
you just wind him up constantly. Even as teammates you would wind them up, but then when you got games, everybody else in the league knew that if you just wind Ian Black up, he will go at some point. And he was probably had a few loose cannons for other reasons. Sean Thornton was a guy I played with at Sunderland.
I remember him. Good player, Northern Ireland.
He was
had the dyed hair, didn't he?
He was ginger, but he dyed his hair blonde because didn't want anybody to know he was ginger. He was the thickest.
Sounds like somebody I know.
He was the thickest man ever known, but liability wise, you just didn't know whether he was. He would get picked on the Friday for the team on the Saturday. You just didn't know whether he would go out that night.
Yes, love him.
He would go out on a Friday night before a game, or even a Saturday morning before the game kicked off at 3. He was relentless with like drink and doing stupid things off the park. But a wasted talent, unfortunately. But probably Blackie was the one that I can remember.
Angry man. Slaney, anyone?
Not really,
anyone big enough you want to give him a mention?
Nah, but would you rather just see Lewis Tosny? He was soft, but just be his ability, he was a bit of a liability.
Mate, do you know who I had? Gordon Greer. You know Big Gordy?
Big Gordon Greer.
Mate, see Gordy, he's the best guy you'll ever meet. Handsome, charismatic, love him, right? See, when you got on the pitch, mate, oh my god, the angriest bastard I've ever played him.
Mate, see,
every time you looked at him on a pitch, like, you would just have a wee glance at him and you'd think that somebody had farted in his face for 90 minutes. His face was screwed up, man. We were playing Charlton in the playoffs. 2-1 up, cruising at the Valley, mate. The ball bounces up in the middle of the pitch and he just fucking kicks Dion Burton in the windpipe, mate. Actual kicks him in the red card off. And then I'm like, Yeah, but Anthony, what you do, I mean, every day in training you turn round and he'd just be punching and fuck out.
He was like that even in training staff training, as well.
Ben Hutchison battered him, big boy Frank Noble just battered him.
Wow, that's crazy, eh?
But see, off the pitch, mate, you couldn't have
nice guy heard that, aye.
I played so against him. Or? I played against him in a reserve game. Blackburn, did he start
Blackburn,
off?
He was
I remember. I tell you who else was a madman when you, when I'm just going to think back. And I didn't really want to mention his name, right? Mikey Stewart.
Did he know you used to just put the ball and walk off training?
We used to train with 21s, right? And he would just no give a fuck because he was just an angry man constantly. And I was quite vocal. I said, Mikey, if you don't want to fucking play, just fuck off. I don't care. And they just go and grab a ball or the bag of balls and just kick them as hard as he fucking could, as high as he could.
He
used to call him Mikey Tourette's because he just talked to himself all the time.
That's true. Somebody told me when he was playing it or training that and he wasn't happy, he used to pick the ball and try to bite the ball.
Oh, he was just really, really angry all the time, honestly.
I'm angry when I play training.
I'd get angry, but...
Have you got the in you to lash out at somebody or a bad tackle or just so angry with your team and just get the angry, game?
I'm with myself, I get fucking proper angry with you.
I get angry with things that are... Oh no, I haven't even got to talk about this because right now my wife's not talking to me because I'm too angry in the house, isn't it, right? It's a hard subject for me then.
Right, last bit on the Celtic Livingston game. I wanted to ask you a question, Slaney. I've came up with this. This is off topic. James Forrest running at Nicky Devlin. What's your dream outcome in a 1v1?
The two of them, Nicky goes to shoulder tackle him. Barges into the ground, the two of them fawn tap each other.
Start getting off each other.
I don't know. That is certainly would be the outcome.
Who were you wanting to get the better? Because obviously both very good.
Well, listen, James Forrest is a multi-millionaire, and Nicky Devlin's no got a pot to piss in. So certainly James Forrest all day long.
On the Rangers, being ruthless domestically since the Celtic defeat, they quashed any doubts over their credentials. They're absolutely flying, aren't they?
The momentum is gathering pace. At Ibrox, when you think about the Old Firm game, had Rangers beaten Celtic that day, they'd actually be sitting 8 points clear. Mm. That's scary to think like that, but fair play to them.
I know, a bit of Manny had boss, she'd be my uncle.
Aye, she would be, aye. but fair play to Rangers, because they are picking up results that they need to pick up,
yeah.
And Celtic's not doing it, so they're taking advantage of what's happening on the other side of the city. They've put the Old Firm defeat firmly behind them and just got on with garnering as much points as they can, scoring. And I even looked at the goal difference. I think they've got 21, plus 21 already.
Six more than Celtic.
You know what I mean? That's come the end of the season, if it's really tight, that's an extra point. So
who's impressing you, Kev?
Oh, the whole lot of them are, because it's like when one goes out and one comes in, they all seem to be doing a job. You know, they talked about there. We talked about Greg Stewart last week, how he was maybe only going to be a squad player. He got an opportunity to come in.
He looks great.
And now he's doing great. Set up more goals. So nice, then the boy Jamie Murphy's come back. He's come in and done well, unlucky not to score. They've dropped Morelos. They've gave Morelos a wee break. Defoe comes on and scores a hat-trick. So they've got strength and depth, whereas if you look at the other side, if you bring off somebody, you're kind of wondering who's coming on. So Rangers, for me, at this minute in time, are absolutely flying. They're sitting top of the table, going into an international break, and they'll probably be glad of an international break because they might get a few other players back. But Barisic has come in.
Yeah, he looks a player,
Looks a player. He's only going to get better. Big Edmondson or Frankenstein, whatever you call him, I don't know.
Some size
of boy. He come in and done well. So everybody that's coming in seems to... keep falling on the philosophy that Steven Gerrard's putting there. They're all pulling the same strings, and they're just.
See, last year I think they struggled to break teams doing it home. See, Greg Stewart makes perfect for him. He's Rangers' best number 10. Do you know what's brilliant about him? Greg will get the ball, and this is what we say about McTominay passing it sideways. Greg will try. He'll take risks. He'll try and put people through. And see if it doesn't come off, and he doesn't care. He's one guy that he does not care. He'll take the ball again, and he'll try and play a risky pass again.
The balance is right in terms of the they've got Stevie Davis. They've got Scott Arfield. They've got players there that know what it means to play for Rangers. So if the guys on the park run about them and they pull their weight, it's just a case of, oh, you come here. This is, you know what I mean. And then obviously I just think that. They're getting better every week.
Although they did struggle against Livingston.
But when they struggle against Livingston, they seem to get. When they struggle against somebody, they come out the next week and it's as if, they've identified what they struggled at and they've rectified it and they've went out and totally done what they should have done the week before. So, it just seems to me that the players look like they enjoy playing for Rangers and they enjoy playing under Steven Gerrard.
Slaney, you worried?
No, listen, I think they're certainly battling in the goals, but I just somebody who's the fixture list, why you get two homes and so two aways
after Europe.
I just don't get it.
Well, I think it'll come back round.
Come back round, so there's nothing to do with that. No, I don't know. Listen, they seem the only criticism I would have said is the Celtic game where they got his tactics rank. Apart from that, when he's played, I believe the right team for Rangers, they've been excellent. And especially with you, I mean, watching the boy Greg Shute, he looks unbelievable, si. I remember you said that, and you're spot on. He's the type of player we say, like, last year, I don't know how many numerous occasions we said it, Si, where it was hard for Rangers to maybe break down the barriers, and he's certainly the man that can do that, Si. And I've just watched him even. I mean, Defoe, they were linking up great, right. Si, and even maybe could have played Defoe through, he was shooting, so he's got that belief in him that he belongs at Rangers, and it certainly is a great signing, it really is, especially the games at home where teams are going to park the bus and park five buses or whatever it may be. He's the man, I think, that's going to really, really do the difference.
The one thing I'll say is Celtic have been away to Hibs, been away to Livingston, and they've been away to Rangers in the first quarter of the season. Rangers have still got to go on away ground and good team. But they go to Hearts, will that be a proper test or not anymore?
Nah, because Hearts are just honking. Hearts are not doing it for me right now. Just Hearts are not doing it. So Rangers are certainly no fear going
to Tynecastle. You fancy Rangers to go there and battle?
Not a problem. The game against Hamilton, like 5-0, it looks convincing. It was convincing, but let's not beat about the bush. Hamilton are not great shakes. Yeah. So you expect Rangers to beat Hamilton 4-5-0 at Ibrox. And that's no disrespect to Hamilton. It's just a fact. It's just truth. Hamilton's season won't be defined how they go on against Celtic and Rangers. No. It'll be how they go on round about them.
Are you saying you're sick of Hamilton?
Oh, mate. Just for years and years, I want them done. I really want them done. I'm sick of them.
Or based on what?
I don't know. Just everything about them. They never seem to want to date and right. Sick to God of them.
Oh, brilliant. Right, you said Kev Hart's another defeat. Kelly, Saturday. Like, he's not going to get sacked before. He's not going to get sacked before the semi final. He didn't sack a manager before the semi final. But is it? And then disarray Hearts. Is this the lowest you've seen Hearts for a while?
Aye, it's the fans. I feel for, because they have to pay money to come and watch it every week, and it's great to beat your rivals. But they're one-off games that anything can happen, regardless of form leading up to those games. I always said, it's all right getting beaten Hibs, it's what you do after that. So they drew with Aberdeen in the cup, and they won in penalties. They drew with St Mirren. Is that a great result? I don't think it is. And then they've lost to Kilmarnock, and now they've got Rangers coming up. So for me,
Gary Locke's got to get it.
I don't know who's going to get it or who should get it. I don't like to see any managers getting the sack, but I said it before, something needs to change somewhere within the Hearts footballing side for Hearts to move forward, whether that's sacking the manager or bringing somebody else in or whatever it is. Something needs to change, because we're talking about Motherwell being third and they're getting a lot of praise for being third. Are they third because Aberdeen, Hearts and Hibs aren't they performing? I don't know.
What do you think, Slaney?
Hi.
Crisis at Hearts?
I just think there's got to be a...
Austin McPhee for the job?
No, I can't stand him. Cannot stand him. But certainly, I believe there's got to be... There's got to be a fresh face there. There's certainly got to be a fresh face, to me, it looks as if it's done. Like that situation.
Could Hearts get relegated though?
No, because Hamilton's in the league.
Oh, brilliant. Right, okay, Aberdeen again. Aberdeen v Hibs. Some angry young men in that Aberdeen side. Young Ferguson sent off, Curtis Main sent off. Two sending offs for you, did you see it?
I watched the highlights last night.
His is not sending off.
But was short. I did see it, but just refresh my memory back on.
He's kind of overstretched, but his foot's not off the ground. It's not a sending off for me.
No, it's certainly no. It's certainly no.
In fact, no, I think it probably is.
Probably would have been, I think.
Put your mind up, you
did
two.
You see it, Kim?
No, I never seen it, no.
Young Ferguson, he's a wee hothead as well, isn't he?
Aye, he's got that wee side, that wee Ferguson dig. But I think it was near the
wee Ferguson what?
Dig.
Oh, dig, sorry.
But certainly, Si, we Hibs, I'll tell you right now, the number 9 for Hibs cost him the game.
Oh, mate, Dodge.
I agree with
did
you.
Did you see the boy, Scott Allen's in with no goalie.
For a tap in.
Why did you not just play him in?
But Kev, being a striker, hardly scored. Would you have passed that?
I'd have passed that all day long.
That one, there was one that he was greedy, but that one, especially that one, was staring in the face to play him. And
do you know why?
Do
I'd have passed that one? Because of the amount of rubbish he missed before that. So at some point, you've got to think, right, okay, this is not happening for me today. But Hibbs should have had that game gone. Like, that should have been three or four. Dodge,
yeah.
Fucking Dodge. Honestly, he'll not play next week. If he plays next week, the manager deserves a sack.
But then who do you play?
I don't know, but somebody better than Dodge.
See, if you're a manager to that, he's missed those, you're slaughtering him.
Do you think
the mouse would have slaughtered him?
You just squeak at him. When
you're a striker, the hardest thing about being a striker is scoring a goal. Yes, without question. But at some point, you have to be no so selfish. And if he'd have square-balled that to Scott Allen, put it in 2-0, he'd have got more praise for squaring it than what he actually did.
I'm the opposite of you, sir.
You'd have shot.
I don't mind my striker shooting.
No, I don't mind my striker shooting.
I think in that instance.
But in that instance, what did they have? 10 minutes to go or something? So you've got to think, right, if I just give that side it's tapped in for 2-0, 3 points, maybe he wants the manager sacked, I don't know.
Missed opportunity for Hibs, though. Nine men. 10 men for a good bit of the game as well.
It's the oldest saying in the book, if you don't take your chances, then you're going to get punished, and that's exactly what happened. It was crying out for a second goal, the chances were there, and Big Doyle didn't do it. So listen, they're only a Celtic to blame. Simple as that. 9 men, that is one of the most humiliating things you can do. 9 men, you can't beat them. When did the Lewis Ferguson get sent off? It was near the end of it. But listen, 10 men.
You playing dodgeball with it?
I know dodgeball coach.
He takes dodgeball, do you know it?
Who does? You were telling that last week.
Never seen it like it. Football coach, and I'm there and doing dodgeball. Unbelievable. Smashing people. You might enjoy yourself. Certainly.
What's that film?
Dodgeball. Patches of Hula. Patches of Hula.
Is it no Adam Sandler?
Spanners at the kid.
Boys, I need to tell you something. His mate fought with me. See you on Instagram. I sent Instagram a message to try and get a blue tick, right? So they said you need to send passport photos, passport photo, and click your criteria. So I sent my passport photos in and clicked celebrity. No, not a celebrity.
Influencer.
I
hate you.
Entertainer. Right, they came back. You did not match the criteria. Didn't get a blue tick.
I thought your passport was still stuck in something in Amsterdam.
I think so. I couldn't even get a new man's eye. So
did you get anyone?
I left it earlier. But
so
I can't
get a blue tick?
How sick is that? So now, listen, now I will never ever want one's eye. Don't know why I'm told you that there, but I was absolutely.
Can't believe you've actually tried to get a blue tick. I thought you were humble and all that.
I thought better than that.
No, he's not. You can't humble.
You've let yourself down.
He's a star, mate.
It's meant to be a heat this, isn't it?
Right, red cards we're talking about. Go on, give us a red card story. Were you 5 times, Kev?
I think 5. I could only count 5 last night. There might be more, but 5, I think 5.
What was the worst?
Probably the worst as in terms of what?
Like, you were out of order.
Rangers, playing against Queen of the South. I came on as a sub, and only had one thing in my mind, and that was to elbow somebody. I targeted a certain individual. No, because I don't like him. I just.
Can we get his name?
I'll tell you in a minute. Big McGuffey, Ryan McGuffey.
Oh, Big McGuffey, yeah.
Aye. I don't know why. I played against him at school level, and I think he went to Newcastle and stuff, and just always thought he was a fanny. And I just thought, fuck it, we're seeing that. Come on, he's getting it. And I don't know why. Just that moment in your head.
Wonder why your Rangers career never kicked off.
I wasn't giving a fuck. I thought, right, he's getting it. So we had a throw in. Down the line, so I've came to try and flick it on, and obviously he's behind me, and I thought, fuck it, if there's any opportunity, it's now. So they took the throw in, and I've just fucking swung the big right elbow, and I've caught him flush, he's been down, and then obviously what happened then later was we got beat between the South that night, so it made my sending off 100 times worse.
What did the manager say?
Of course, he says, I'll see you tomorrow. I says, no, boy, Gaffer, I'll be in first thing in the morning. I says, you will be in first thing in the morning, son, straight to my office. I went, right, Kev. So next morning, Kev, I like to defend my players, but see this, can't defend. I said, look, Gaffer, I was just putting my arms up to try and elevate myself. I said, you just caught. He said, Kev, come here, don't lie to me. Watch this back. And he made me watch it back. And I was like, aye, Gaffer.
Was he all right?
Aye, he was all right. He says, it's no, that's no condones. That's what's course of the game. And I felt like shit for about 5 minutes. And then that was it. So I apologised to the teammates, and away I went.
Slaney it.
I think I've maybe told this, I'm not sure, but I remember Andy Millen came in. Is it Andy Millen or Andy Millen? Andy Millen. And he came in as the caretaker manager, and he was desperate to get the job. He said to us, I'm not too bothered about the job, boys. But I know he was sniffing about the chairman's office, dying to get the job. So he said to all the boys, we need to really work hard and get it. So we were about the Airdrie side, and we were, he's named the team, and I wasn't in it. And he came up to me when the boys were getting round, and he said, you've got still a big part to play. And in my head I went, I know I have. And this is in my head, I'm thinking, you bring me on the day, I will be sent off. You do not ever, ever no play me in this league. I was embarrassed sitting on that bench. So I came on in 61 minutes, and by 63 I was back in the changing room side.
So I came on. Can never imagine, did you smash somebody?
Paddy Boyle.
Ah, yeah.
Do you know how he smashed Paddy Boyle? Your touch was horrendous.
Were you there?
No, I phoned a guy last night for the story. His touch was horrendous.
Mate, unbelievable. I sent James yet. James was like to me at the time. I sent James, he was like, how did you get sent off? You're not got that in you at all. And then the first thing he's like, mate, what about your touch? It was that disgusting. But I'd always said, Paddy Boyle, I'd worked with Paddy for many months, and his patter was that bad, it drove me mental. So I said, I'm going to get him. So I wiped him up. I wiped him out. So right up there he went, and the referee sent me off. So I think, believe there's always been a bit of trouble with me and the referees, but that wasn't where it continued. So I was, listen, buzzing to get sent off, and as I walked off, I said, I must keep this charade up, si. So I walked into the changing room, and the kit man Kerzo followed me in, and I thought, I need to keep this going, because I was buzzing to be off. So I just carried on. So when I was in the changing room, I started smashing hell at the changing room, si, punching it, kicking it, acting the hard man, Kev. But then the big problem came. I went to volley a bin. And as I volleyed the bin, my leg split the bin and got stuck in the bin. So I had a fucking huge bin stuck to my leg.
I couldn't get the bin off my leg, mate. Did the manager
come? No, so I said to Kerzo, I said, get away from me. But as I was trying to walk back to my seat, I had a big bin trailing my leg. But aside, so then I was sitting in my seat with the bin, I couldn't get it off. Kerzo had, it was actually, for me, no word of a lie, it was stuck into my leg. The bin, my leg was gushed, my knee was all split open because of this big bin. No, this isn't any jokes. And Kerzo was there, mate, and then I just hit floods of tears there. It's burst into tears. But the reason I done it was, I timed it perfect for the boys to come in to greet, as if I was upset that I let them down. It was nothing to do with it. I was happy to be sent off. The only reason I get sent off was, the only reason I started greeting was because of the pain of the bin I was in. I've never felt anything like it, si. It was shambolic. So that was it. But I must say, Andy Millen, what a man, si.
All right, so you've just went back on what you've said.
No. I was at that time. You never ever dropped me at that level. You put me in the bench.
You learned that quicker.
I the next day didn't get the job. So enjoy yourself, son. What about you, Si?
I've been sent off. We played Southampton at St Mary's, beat them 1-0 in Austin. Last minute, smashed somebody, sent off. But that result had got us in the playoffs, so we were guaranteed to finish in the top six. So Danny Wilson's came in after the game, he went, fucking love you, what a manager he was, I loved him. He says, I don't care about your red card, I've booked you as a box at Cheltenham tomorrow. Free drink, free booze, you're off Wednesday, Thursday, go mental, do what you like. So obviously I was suspended for the Saturday, so I have took the piss at the free bar. Never had a suit though, so one of the boys had the geezer suit, Michael Timlin. It looked like your dad's suit, it was fucking huge.
Yeah, wait a minute, sorry. Did you see Gaza out of Rangers? It's still my dad's suit. Can you show this picture? Still my dad's suit. Sorry.
That's alright, mate. So I got a 45-1 winner up on the last horse, mate. 450 quid. Had a tenner on it, right?
Yes.
So steaming. Pouring pints over my head. Bearing in mind I've got Tim's suit on. Pouring pints over my head. His suit's done. Brilliant. Boys are raging with his. The next morning on the... Sorry, that was the Wednesday. So the Thursday, we're off again. And the boys are going to get tattoos. So I've went and got a tattoo on my arse. I'll not tell you what it says anyway. But
have you got one? Have you?
Shit happens on my arse. Only done it just to try and impress the boys, because I was on a mad one for the 2 days. So Danny Wilson pulls us on Friday. He was in the box at Cheltenham, but he had to leave because I was doing, he's not in that much, how steaming I was. So God. Friday we're in, and the boys are telling him obviously about what I've done to Tim's suit and about the tattoo. And Danny Wilson like holds a meeting, and he comes in and he's like, right, you can either get fined a week's wages,
do you,
or we can play bare arse on your new tattoo for 20 minutes out on the pitch. So I took bare
arse.
20 minutes I'm standing with a new tattoo getting boys lathered off my arse.
Bare arse. People with
what a time, mate. That was the best year of my life, eh?
Danny Rolston,
mate, he's the best guy in the world.
He was a manager of mine at Hartlepool. Great guy.
Mate, what a guy.
Great guy.
See if you won a game, right? See if you won a game, he'd be like, everyone showered, changed, in the players' lounge. Everyone must go. Everyone will go and have a pint with me and Peter Shirtliff, the assistant manager. He'd sit and get, he'd tell you Brian Clough stories. Wow, what a guy, mate. That was the best year of my life.
He's managed both Sheffield teams, hasn't he?
He has,
aye, no, he's a good manager. Good, great guy.
Is he still a manager, him?
Great guy. I don't think so. He made an arse at Chesterfield. That was his last year.
Arse too much.
Another one, mate. I got sent off for the... I'd been it for 2.5 years. My first game back for the Celtic Resies, I got sent off against Aberdeen, right? And I thought, oh, no. Strachan and that was up in the box watching at Airdrie. So 2.5 years out, first came back after 13 minutes or something, last man, took him out, sent off. See, when I went off, I don't know why I've done this, I've went into the changing room at Airdrie and I went in the mirror and I've started trying to fix my hair for some reason. We had a night out that night or something, so I was in the mirror fixing my hair. And Strachan's walked in the changing room without me knowing, and he's standing watching me after I'd just been sent off, mate, fixing my hair. And he's going like that, what the fuck is wrong with you? 2.5 years out, you're in here fixing your hair. But he was bang on with his head, he was top man. So
you feel like shit when you get sent off, eh?
Oh, it's the worst, mate. Well, you just hoping you didn't get beat, innit?
I know, but...
Right, here we go, we're on to Scotland, you ready for it?
Oh, here we go.
Now, no, it's not just the nation that's listening to the podcast. Steve Clark's listening. Decky Gallagher's been brought in.
Super.
So Steve Clark, if you're listening, we want you to wear tighter trousers and start spiking that fringe.
You've got to be more boisterous, I would say, Si, isn't right. Steve Clark, he's very, very, he's listening in. He really is listening in. But supposedly Snoddy and Charlie have been above Steve Clark and they do not want me to go as a kit man.
Seriously?
Aye, they don't want me in.
Take the limelight off him.
I don't know, Si. I think they're struggling. I think they said, obviously, I'm the spitting image of Robert the Bruce's dad. They're trying to move away from the Braveheart days, aren't they? So I'm not going to get the kit man job, boys. So I'm devastated here. But why don't we, as open goal, why don't we go up and see the boys, meet them?
Ain't interested, to use your phrase, mate.
Nah, I will say that. No, listen, I think it'd be good. Do you know what I was also thinking? Why don't we... Oh, God, maybe we'll keep this for after the show. I think have a Halloween party, open goal Halloween party. No, I'll do that. Willie Gollum.
Oh,
anyway, Scotland,
Scotland face Russia away, San Marino at home. What's the strategy going into these? An empty even, is it?
If he picks a squad of 22 players, pick 11 for one game.
Why don't you try and play with an extra man on?
Just, I don't even know.
Ask Sir Fandon.
See if Kenny Dalglish will play. I don't know, just play 11 players in the first game, play a different 11 the next game, and see out of that 22, see who's good, who's no good. I think that's how we've got to treat these next lot of games, because they're meaningless games, because we're not going to qualify at this group. The meaning game is the game in March, is it March, when we play whoever we get drawn against, which we will have a chance against, but we need to have a team prepared and ready for that game.
See, I disagree. I would go with my... I'd try and get my strongest 11 and play.
Aye, no, I agree with that, but we have two more games, do we not?
Oh, after that.
Use these two games is to find out who you can trust, yeah. And then your next two games, play your strongest 11 and try and be ready for March. I think that's how it works out.
I remember when I interviewed Michael O'Neill about a year ago, and he says, this was off camera, obviously, he said, Scotland's problem is that chop and change players far too much.
Aye, there's too many. Well, like, how many, under Bertie Vokes either, how many players got a cap? You know, I'm looking at, we're talking about Stevie, I was listening to a thing on Saturday about Stevie May, and he's only, that was his first goal
in
since fucking forever. And then I Wikipedia'd him to see his career, and he's got a cap for Scotland. Fucking Brian May, the singer, I think he's got a cap too. Everybody's got a cap. I've got 10, but...
I think, looking at Scotland's squad, I think, honestly, I'm not just saying, I think it's very good players. Yeah, like,
there is good players, we can't
good,
deny that.
Very, very
it's
good
just
players.
Getting the good players to become a team.
I think the next wee bit, it's just, even away in the hotels and all, it's really to get the boys together and really, really believe, because they really are good players. They're good enough to get to that Euros, and I believe they will get there. I really do, and I'm not just saying this because try to suck up to them. No, at all. I would never do that, but I believe they're good enough. And if he
is,
if
the World Cup.
I think they could go really far, and I hope they get the Euros, because then that means we're all gone. And that open goal, correct. Go to the Euros.
But see, the thing is, they're good players, but for me, most important thing in football is your strikers and your centre halves, and that's what we like.
That's the both ends, isn't it? That's the both ends.
Do you think with a few more games to go, we could possibly have the possibility of Tierney coming back and playing maybe like a left centre half, or is he not big enough for that?
Nah, I think he needs to play left back, didn't he?
Think so. So where would you play Andy Robertson?
I'd play the two of them. I'd put him
just
left back, left
back. I'd just play two left backs, just have him standing next to each other.
Two world class, isn't it? Maybe we'll just say we've got two world class players
left back. Just let them do 1-2s with each other.
Oh no, just have two left backs and the right back. Better half, because the right back's been hopeless.
No, it's a shame, because like you say, on paper we actually have some really, really good players, yeah, all playing at really good levels of football. It's just, we'd all love to get to a competition. Like, I'm thinking 98, I can remember Scotland at the World Cup. There's a whole generation since then till now that's never seen that,
yeah,
have missed it.
I forget the mentality though of Scotland. There's winners, they're winners, but the nation is a negative mentality, but there is winners through my life. Andy Murray, tennis side, yeah. Stephen Hendry, snooker.
John Higgins,
world champion. Roy Stewart, music.
What's he winning music?
But who else?
He's like Scottish.
Sir Chris Hoy.
The curler, Rona.
Aye. But I'm thinking, Rona, I'm just going through this. It's a 5 million country and the amount of world champions we've produced. It's unbelievable.
Willie Collin, best ref.
Best referee gone. The winning mentality of this country is surreal, and we must really, really.
Grey Fires Bobby.
The wee dog. And then you've also got Jockey Lowe, the darts player.
Jockey Lowe?
Is it? Hokeem Lowe, Smelly Boys.
No, it's Jockey. Jockey Wilson.
Jockey Lowe. But I do believe, and I must say this, I'm so passionate about this. This country, you can see you're passionate, you can see it, but we've got to back up. We've got world champions all this country. The problem is the nation, it's a mentality. This is what I can't understand. Our press and this, our mentality, this, as if we're. Your squad are trying to compete against our press, as if they're ready to put us down at any point. That, why is that? We should be the total opposite.
To be fair, we're ready to put.
I'm the worst for doing it, so maybe they're absolutely spot on.
I don't know. If you can see the pieces that have come over me, these last few days have been a shame. I'm trying to throw away. Let me tell you that I love you. And I think about you all the time.
We want
Caledonia.
Show me where you push for all the time.
Right, John Flex in the squad for me.
Super.
Good player.
About time that man get called up. I went away with Scotland. Uh-huh. He was the next Rooney.
Does that
again, another midfielder?
I know, but I'm going to look at this in a different way.
John
Flex has been about for how long now?
A while, I'd say 10 years, right.
So why is it taking John Fleck to play in the Premiership for somebody to actually take notice of the kid and give him an opportunity now?
I think that's
10 years.
Scotland, whoever's.
Aye, but that's what I'm saying. So John Fleck's just not become good this year. Mm. John Fleck's always been a good wee player. So is there other good players out there, but because they're not playing in the levels that we think they should be playing at, that's why they don't get called up?
I just find it.
No, there probably isn't. Lauren Shanklin. I just think that.
Did you play Shanklin, kid?
No. Did you watch the game Friday night against Alava? So for every hat trick that Shanklin scores, and for every 4 or 5 goals he scores, there's games like Friday night where you're absolutely honking against Alava away on a Friday night.
I know, but then you can say that about the Celtic players about Alava.
But that's the same way.
It's
the same with football in general.
Yeah.
Like, 1 week you're great, Celtic beating Cluj, then losing to Livingston, rubbish. It's just football. There's too many ups and downs. But no, Shanklin, for me, I hope he gets great opportunity during the training through the week. And if there is an opportunity for him to get 5-10 minutes experience, that's it. But to start a game, I think, is asking a lot of the
That's the thing, it all comes down to training, isn't it?
Do you know what
if you can't see, but you,
no.
If you're the manager, you're basing it on
if
who's...
you were the Scotland manager side and you've got your 24 players away for 10 days, would you pick your team on how they're performing during the week?
Yes.
The training?
Yes.
That's how I would do it. Because you see who's up for it,
who's
doing well, who looks confident. Not because so-and-so plays for Sheffield United or so-and-so plays for Wolves or so-and-so plays for Man United. Should be on your performance.
I agree.
In training, because...
If selection was based on training, would you play?
Oh, man,
never.
I would never get a game.
I was honestly the most amazing player. Like, you wouldn't actually believe how good I was at hiding for the boy. I actually became amazing. I used to get a buzz.
You the world hide and seek champion.
Oh, man, I used to slaughter boys for no passing at me, but while I was slaughtering, I'm standing still, but I'm standing behind a player that I could never get the ball.
I reckon we could get a book, you know, Where's Wally? Where's Slater?
But regardless, I think I would play Snoddy up top.
Right, we'll move on. Slaney wanted this topic in for some reason. Spurs. How come you always speak about Spurs so much?
He wanted the topic in about Tottenham, and then the first thing he asked me got here was, "What's happening with Tottenham?"
Is it coming soon for Pochettino?
Surely not.
Somebody says to me, right, he doesn't go to the training. He watches it on a screen in his office.
Mate, do you know, I've read his book, and he's got cameras all the training ground, right? And he watches them when they come into his training and watches how their mood is. And Pochettino used to work in women's football, and he said when he done it with women, they come in all buzzing and that, and they're all happy to be there. He said men football is totally different mentality. So he watches the way they come in,
the body language.
That was the Canio, was like, yeah. So he's got it in cameras, and it's a strange. But listen, he's been successful, but something's definitely up. You don't get to a Champions League final and then
get beat 3-0 for
7-2. I mean, Bayern just get beat with Paderborn there.
Really?
2-1 at home at weekend. Right, so
you think he's gone, Kev?
Who?
He looks like he's chucked it, huh?
Pochettino.
I'd love it in Man United.
It's a case of who goes first, and it'll set off a merry-go-round with managers moving. I think Pochettino getting Tottenham to the Champions League final is the best thing he's ever done. But they've never won anything, Tottenham. That's the thing. Like, I think he looked fed up last year, but the Champions League, the run of the Champions League kind of kept him in the job. And this year he's basically just said, look, I can't be arsed with this anymore. So, but where does he go? Because he is a good manager. Yeah. There's no
we'll put a wee Scottish spin on it then. Brendan Rodgers is linked to the Tottenham job. If he goes, would he be a good fit for Tottenham?
Aye, he'd be good.
Looking tremendous. But see how skinny he is, by
the way. I know. I'd be good for a Tottenham. But see, like, a Man United, now this might be wrong what I'm saying. I think Brendan Rodgers is a really, really good manager, right? Very good. But I don't think he's that extra bit like your Klopp's, your Guardiola's. I think that's why he left Liverpool. I don't think he's at that level to win leagues in the Premier League. Maybe I'm wrong, Si. I could be wrong in winning Champions League. I think he's very good, but that next level, I don't know, maybe I'm right.
I just always thought that when he got sacked by Liverpool, his next job obviously was Celtic, and people say, well, that's a big coup for Celtic getting Brendan Rodgers. But at that time, it was the best move possible for Brendan Rodgers, because his next move other than Celtic was a Bournemouth or one of the lower league. And if he didn't do well there, that would have been his kind of Premier League career finish. Whereas he come up here, he did what he did, and he's went back to a Leicester, and he'll use that as a stepping stone to a Tottenham or an Arsenal or whatever it is. And his performances are shown at Leicester, you know what I mean? He's doing great down there with Leicester. They're flying. So Tottenham, can he do wonders at Tottenham? Why not? Because they've got footballers at Tottenham that like to pass the ball. Brendan Rodgers loves to pass the ball. So
I watched Leicester there, obviously, at Anfield on Saturday there. Very good team,
very. I'm telling you, mate. I've got obviously a coach here that I can used to do like in service days, and I'm very sceptical about what people do with presentations and absolutely blew my mind, mate. I could have sat and listened to him speak about football, and then see after it, he's like to me. He asked about the carrying and stuff like that, and he says, "Do you want to come out and watch training?" Went out and watched training. Then after, he's like, "Do you want to come up to the office?" So it was me and the two boys that I coach. We went up and sat with him for 2 hours, just talking about football. And honestly, man, it's like. The way he sees football is completely different.
These guys dedicate their lives to it. Aye, like we think because we played football we can all of a sudden just go out and become a coach and then we'll become a manager and it'll work out rosy, but these guys do so much.
Like, who
was it I saw? Was it a guy called Billy Davies?
Yeah.
He had like a room in his house that had like 6 or 7 TVs with every files of stats and everything, and he just researched everything, and that's something I would absolutely have no time for.
See, you've got a room in your house with 6 or 7 TVs, but it's got leather walls and couches in it.
Yes, what was I going to say there?
Brendan Rodgers. Nah.
No, I spoke to a few of the Celtic boys before, and they said, see, every day. Now, you know what it's like working with a manager, and some days are like, fuck, this is boring.
Can't be bothered.
He said every day it was world class. Every single day was world class. Now, that is incredible. Yeah. The standards inside the building, out in the training pitch. So
maybe he's changed the way I've started coaching. See, when watching him and listening to him, I totally changed how I wanted it.
But he's actually watching Leicester this season. I mean, I always felt we Celtic, they had that one style of playing, which was great, but sometimes you'll be if you're home
in
Europe.
He's not like that at Leicester,
though,
is he?
They sat back a bit and hit and counted him as well, so he's obviously realised maybe you need to do that, so I don't know, but certainly the boys are very, very, speak very highly of the man.
Right, we're talking about Man United. They are Lord and Wilshere, man.
I am sick of
that.
That
is the worst Man United team I've ever seen in my life. He needs to straighten his hair.
He needs to get just from in or cut it off or whatever, but Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, legend at the club, but as a manager, like,
how do you go from Mulder
to Cardiff relegation to going to Man United? Like, oh, I don't know. It's just, but what do? You change it?
Aye.
And then you get another manager in, and you just keep changing. And you need to have a plan going forward.
You need
forward.
A top manager in there, Kev. Nah.
See, like, the thing is that you get
had the top managers, and they've got rid of them. So, what?
Just fold. Go part time.
Man United, like, I'm going to ask this question. Could, like, look at that league table. Could Man United end up in a slump?
Could Gary Holt get the Man United job?
Could they get relegated?
Nah.
No, he'll never ever get relegated, sure, but he's not the man. Like, you look through the team, the players aren't good enough, but see, when you get a top manager in, they get rid of the players right away. They know exactly what they want, and they date Klopp down at Liverpool, Guardiola does at Man City. They don't, like...
How did Man, you know, get Guardiola when Ferguson was retired?
Bizarre. How did he... Fergie must have been sitting in his office thinking, David Moyes is better than Guardiola. No, he's not. He's certainly nowhere near it.
He's got a big house, though.
Cracking big house, Davey. But I just can't... I mean, it's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. The decision-making of that club. And Gary Neville doesn't help any matters. Yesterday, he's saying, Solskjaer's not a problem. But he's a big part of the problem. He should never have got the job. It's a pals that you're talking about, Gary Neville.
Moustache, Gary.
Aye.
Brendan Rodgers has blamed Andy Robertson for a brawl kicking off. Andy Robertson can't start a brawl.
No chance. Although the wee boys for Glasgow and that, he's certainly no hard as a proper Glasgow.
I watched him on Saturday, and he is an animal, by the way. Mm-hmm. See, by the
so
way,
fit.
See his fitness levels and his confidence. Man, honestly, like, see there, him and Trent, right? I couldn't believe
Trent,
it.
Trent, is it?
No, but see, Salah and Mane and Firmino, they all play in so tight, and it's just, they two just bomb on and bomb back. And see when they give the ball away, it's in front of 50,000 fans. It does not bother them, mate. They are animals.
That's what top players,
their minds are animals, and the way they just constantly go back and forth. My God, it was incredible to watch.
Kev, best brawl you've seen?
Can I step in here?
It was Coventry training ground.
Yeah.
Michael Doyle.
Michael, mate. He was here when I was a young kid. Wow.
Prick. Absolutely.
Playing against, he used to nip you and all that.
Oh, yeah. It was the verbal that came out of him that you thought, would you just fucking shut up? So one day he was obviously the mouth was running, and he just went too far. And the captain at the time, Robert Page, big baldy, he did something after he played with Sheffield
United, as well,
hard as fuck. The next thing, bang, Doyle didn't know where it was, New York or New Year. Came in, he lost three teeth at the front, didn't know where he was, but it was absolutely deserved, and I was one happy guy that happened to him. But that's probably the only kind of brawl I've ever seen, apart from when 20 guys from Mabel tried to take me on doing Stranraer, and I sorted them right
out.
But
you and Bibsy, right?
Absolutely.
I've got two, just a wee quick one at Celtic, with Amy Zaluska, where Gary Hooper threw me to the ground like a wee lassie, and I stood up and Zaluska went for me, Si. That was the biggest mistake he made. I cracked Zaluska and KO'd him, because Zaluska was lying in the ground
in an
absolute heap. Zonked out for his lane dog.
Andre Blackman, told you shit it for him, didn't you?
Oh my God.
Who?
Andre Blackman, a guy that signed for Celtic.
But you said that you used to just like give coaches it. No,
he used to say to Alan Thompson. He went at training, the two were arguing. He went, do you know what? Stop arguing. He went, changing room six. After training, meet me in changing room six. We'll lock the door, right? So I remember once me and Keats were laughing in training. He went like, what are you fucking laughing at? And I went like, nothing. And I went like, you were laughing. He said to so. So then I've got my back up, and I went like, it's not any fucking debut anyway. So shut your mouth. And she was like, what did you fucking say, bruv? That's what he said to us. Boy, he was a London geezer, and he'd been kicked out of Arsenal, Spurs. I'm actually petrified to say this in case he hears this and comes for me. I'll say it, I'll go for it. And so we were, it got split up. But sorry, I know where they lie, I always tell lies, right? But this is the truth. We were fighting, but I always just did arguing, training, fight with people, because it always got split up, and boys were always like in the middle of it. So boys were grabbing me, and I was kidding, I was trying to get to him. I was never trying to get to him. There was about five boys in front of me. So Stevie Frail, nowhere to lie, feed the Frail, got the two of us and walked us in. So he said, right, the two's are done for training. So he's walked me and Andre Blackman in and into training. So he's went like to me, you won the first team physio room. And he said to Andre, you go up the tap, whatever,
the reserve
physio room or whatever. So I was sitting in the physio room, and Jamesy was on getting ice in his knee, and Tosh, big, don't know why Tosh was in the first team physio, whoever let him in there, he must have sneaked in, he was lying there as well. So I'm sitting in the chair, I'm explaining to the two what was good, what had happened and why I'm in. But as I look at the window, Stevie Frails walked back out to training. So I thought, fucking hell, Andre's up the tap. 5 minutes later, Andre walks down, he went, do you want to fucking sort it now? So I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I say, well, everybody's arguing, training, Andre, right? No, this isn't a joke, right? So I'm sitting here and I'm just like sitting in a swingy chair that you can swing around. Mate, this is no word in lie, we'll get James A to confirm this. And I'm sitting there and Andrew's like, let's fucking go for it right now. And I, no word in lie, right? I put my horn up to say, and I went, put my horn up and I'm like, I'm not going to waste my career on you, right? So this is, I put my horn up, sorry, my horn was shitting, right? James A and Tosh seen it. So they put their t-shirts out of their face to hide the laughter. And I was like to him, I'm not going to fucking waste my career on you. No way, get away. But I started to try to shout to be scared. I swear to God, so he was like, he's like, I can fucking see the fear in you. You're a pussy and all that. And I was like, fuck off.
So I just walk out.
But then later that day, he was like, don't ever speak to me like that, or I'll sort you out properly. But then we had a meeting up in Lenny's office. And that, and Austin, we had a meeting with Lenny and that, and Lenny was like, what is going on, Nora? He was like, but then Danny McGrain and Stevie Frail had a meeting with the Resies, right? And they said, if they see what, mate, listen to this, if they see one more argument in training, we're going to stop training, walk everybody up to the gym and let the two of them fight.
Oh, wow. Mate, so you stopped.
So I never ever said another word to anybody. I've actually got the best brawl story, and I've said so much, so I wait till next week. See the Cyprus story? I can't believe this has come in. See the Cyprus story? Remember I said I was going to do it last week? Uh-huh. This is actually a brawl, so it's crazy. We went out to Cyprus with Murdo, 19th, and we were playing a separate team. It was an amateur team, though, right? In a fucking middle of nowhere. And but the game was going on, so they started spitting our boys. So I seen them spitting that, and a boy spitting me. So I wiped it down, shouted at a young area manager and said, fucking man, he's playing up. It's just to get off the pitch, so I was petrified. So I'm sitting down with ice in my knee. And so the game goes on, the ball goes out the touchline, time. And the keeper goes to get it. Their keeper, or was it your keeper? No, it was their keeper, and the big boy, Cal Hendry, ran to get the ball. So as the two of them started fighting for the ball, so the two of them started cracking each other. So 20 fucking two players have sprinted out of the corner. There is a mass brawl in the corner side. People falling down. Now, do you know Rab?
Rab Thompson.
Rab Thompson, the fitness trainer. He's an old guy, right? He's got three fingers. No, well, he's got five fingers, but he shakes your horn with three. Never seen anything like it. He sprints their side, right? And somebody fucking spears him or whatever. Big Rab Thompson goes down the ditch. Mate, no joke. Never seen Rab again the rest of the fight. So I'm seeing it, right? But as this is happening, there's an old guy for the other side of the pitch starts to walk here with a big stick. I don't know if it was a stick, whatever it was. Started running there with a stick, but he coming towards my direction. He had to run by me, so I started ice bag front to fuck, nothing round my knee, sprinted towards your bus. So I ran on the bus.
Sitting on the bus.
This is a true story. So I'm sitting on the bus looking out. And this is the most amazing part, and he's never let it live. Stevie Lawless, the little fucking Hamilton hamster, or what, Hamilton little weasel that he is, the tiny little baby that he is, the small boy that he is, was sitting there acting the hard man. His eye. See the old man that went there? He dropped to Kosh, crack me, Stevie Lawless. Stevie Lawless, K-Dawd. Stevie Lawless get knocked out.
The boys, for an old guy.
For an old guy, right? Cypher's old guy. So the old, all the boys had to pick wee Stevie Lawless and carry him out of the bus. I swear to God, mate.
You said all the boys, you only need one of them.
So, mate, that was it. But we get told that night, none of this can get out, because in case it gets out, Motherwell Youth boys on it, and I'm asked brawl. So this is the first time that's ever been told that story. So hopefully it makes it press.
What a way to end the show as well.
Is that me? That's us done. Have you got any brawls?
Ach, mine's I'm just good brawls. Like, I remember Evander Snow and Petrov fucking training me. Honestly, man.
Evander Snow and Petrov.
It was fucking brilliant. Petrov wanted him, he was kind of wanting out to say like at that time, and he was just booting everyone in training. He booted Big Snow and Big Snow got me, and it was a proper square go. Loved it, mate. Battle of the Titans, man. You know the one about Big Bobo, didn't you? Big Bobo was going to batter Petrov as well, and went from the dressing room, and
Bobo went for Petrov.
Bobo cracked, mate, and like Sutty was trying to stop Bobo, and Bobo was flinging him in his locker. Big Jim Henton, Bobo, nobody could stop him, mate. Petrov was shitting himself.
Did Petrov slaughter him, didn't he?
The Oss used to slaughter Bobo all the time. He used to just blame him for him, and he just cracked, mate. It was like summoning out of Gladiator, mate, honestly.
Oh my God, that would be my... I used to fear the fact of maybe even playing against that guy.
Bobo,
And I never ever, thankfully, had that opportunity. But
mate, he got sent to the reserves, mate, he would smash you.
Oh, mate.
He was dangerous.
He's maybe the best guy ever.
Oh, man. Best guy. He bought us like a whole new sound system when he got moved into the reserves for the changing room. Took us all down to Manchester, one paid for everything. He was top man, Bob.
Ah, super.
What was the man? I don't know if I still get.
Aidan
and.
Oh, Aidan and Borick. I'll tell that. Aidan's, I think Barry Robson told it. So Borick used to refuse to save Aidan's shots in training.
Why?
Because he hated him. So something happened and they were fighting in training, and it got all got split up, And Aidan went in the dressing room, and Arthur came in and went to shake Aidan's hand. Said, no worry, no hard feelings or something. And Aidan went to shake his hand, and Boris just went, fuck you, cracked him. So I think they're rolling about, and then it gets split up. And Aidan comes into the physio room, and big Arthur goes for a shower and a fag, probably. And Aidan's sitting in the dressing room, in the treatment room, and he's like, to the boys, where is he? The boys are like, he's in the shower. So Aidan's like, I'm going for him. Fair play, Aidan, mate, he's game, eh? So he ran right back into the dressing room, in the shower, with the Boric. And I think Boric's turned around just before Aidan's went for him and cracked him again. I think that's his story anyway, but...
Oh,
big
man.
Big Boric, mate, you wouldn't want to punch him.
No, he was mental, eh? Absolutely mental.
Fighting there.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely loved it, eh?
Brilliant.
Oh! Oh, everybody get bumped. Oh. Everybody loved it, and I would always like to try start fights, eh? Just that we seeds in there, we see boys to scrap, but no, no better buzz when you see boys fighting, eh?
I remember Mick McCarthy. We played Wolves. It was for Wolves away at home at Molineux one night, and Gary Breen. Mick was shouting at Gary Breen in the park, so we got beat to come half, and fucking Gary Breen sat down. We all sat down, and Mick went straight for Breeny. And see you fucking shit it again. And Breeny's obviously just fucking stood up, and the two of them, Sylvain Ebanks, Blake and me, have got Mick McCarthy's arms. The others have got Breeny, and I swear to God, the two of them were fucking, I thought, if we let them go, somebody's going to die here tonight. Yeah. Somebody's going to die. And I honestly, Big Mick, I thought, oh, please, I would never take a punch off Big Mick. But at that time, I thought, surely Breeny's going to back down. He's the captain, but...
Went for it.
Oh, the two of them just were gone for it. Like, and the players were like, you're sitting there, like, you come shocked, like, shock sets, and you're like, is this really happening? But it took about 10 minutes to calm the situation down, and Mick didn't even finish his team talk, just walked out, and Breeny just sat there on the half, and you're like, fucking hell. But... kissed and made up, and that's how it was.
JC, we're managers, the Canio, mate. We were in Italy. Tommy Miller told us a story on the.
Tommy Miller? Did you play with Tommy Miller?
Best guy in the world. Love
for Hartlepool?
Best guy in the world.
Great guy.
I played centre mid with him.
Super.
So
guy.
We were in Italy pre season tour, been working our balls off, mate. It was like triple sessions every day. And the Canio says, last day, my mate's got a barbecue, and then we'll go to a nightclub. So we're at this barbecue, the Canio's on the decks, you know what I mean? He loves it, he's up singing and like.
You showed me a video of that before.
So, and then we get, he says, my pal's organised for you to go to a nightclub. So we're in this nightclub, mate, we're all buzzing, birds, everything, it's amazing. And the music stops, mate, and a big spotlight comes on in the nightclub, and here's the bold the Canio, mate, with the Swindon training gear, walking into the nightclub. Shades on, mate, the darkest nightclub in it, and he's got shades on. So he walks down, mate, and it's like David Beckham walking into a nightclub in London, and off her tits on. So anyway, about 30 minutes into it, mate, you look over and there's like a big brawl going on. Mate, the madman's rolling about the ground with somebody, man.
No.
So we all run out and help him, and see after that, he absolutely loved you.
Super.
We're a team now, we are a team.
What was he in the nightclub for, just to come out?
Just to show us how much everyone loved him. You could actually extend what about me coming in that nightclub?
Brent,
that's it.
Oh, seriously?
One more?
Can we please take out that Andre Blackman bit? I'm shite myself.
No, he's not listening to this, he can't.
Mate, see, he used to stay with Nick Feely. He stayed with Nick Feely, an Aussie goalie, dirty, and stayed with Nick Feely night, and the two of them had left, and about 2 years later, they used to stay together, and 2 years later, I seen Andre driving about the town, but he was gone myself for years, and I was lovely something. I was like, I'm looking for Nick Feely. He owes me rent money. Mate, swear to God, eh?
He's a road man, isn't he, for top boy?
Oh, mate, he's absolutely.
I'd put that out and see if we could get Andre Blackman. I think he'd
get him on. I think he'd, mate, but you're talking about him in a good way, like he's hard, do you know what I mean?
Aye.
Let's get him on the show, get him on the show, eh?
And you're not saying he should, he's saying you should.
He should be still playing with Celtic then, eh?
Wait.
We're going to do the Arsenal, aren't we?
Oh, so
he did tennis.
You fancy it, Kev?
Oh,
we're playing. Who are we playing, Si?
Playing
Winterburn, the line judge is Stevie Bold.
Stevie Bold and Winterburn, they're going to try and play offside and heady tennis.
Aye, and do you know who the ball girl is? Davy Seaman.
That'll do.
I'm only going if Ray Parlour's gone. Did you see Ray at the weekend?
Oh, he loves it, mate, didn't he?
I'm going to be late for my dodgeball class.
Right, come on, let's go. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Who's talking after?